So we continue to stay in Mark. This morning we're at Mark chapter 2, verse 23, chapter 3, verse 6, as we look at the Lord of the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. For the last few weeks, we've seen Mark and how Jesus deals with the conflicts with the Pharisees or the scribes of the Pharisees. Today, we'll be looking at a couple of more conflicts that are brought on by unbelief in Jesus, in unbelief in Jesus' overall message. Mark does this in quick succession so that we can, from the very beginning of his book, understand the contrast and between the non-believers and believers, between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. He wants to put that all into perspective as we move forward. Remember, 3 or 4 weeks ago, we saw that these scribes of the Pharisees were outraged. They were scandalized by the fact that Jesus could forgive the paralytic his sins. They were saying to themselves, and almost out loud as far as Jesus was concerned, who could forgive sin but God alone? They concluded that this man must be a blasphemer. They never even considered, because their lack of faith wouldn't allow them to, that this was in fact God who forgives sins for his people. Then they were offended again when Jesus and his disciples had the audacity to go to a party with Levi, a tax collector, which is worse than scum itself. But not only with one tax collector, but a whole house full of tax collectors. I mean, what rabbi in his right mind would put himself in a position to be unclean like that? They were offended last week when Jesus and his disciples didn't follow the law and traditions concerning fasting that, oh, by the way, they established. And so it's important for them to try to stand on their own laws, because their job is to make themselves look godly. But as we've seen all along, Jesus stands outside of that cultural expectation. He doesn't give in to the whims and traditions of men. Those unbelieving Jews would never understand the fullness of Jesus coming to fulfill the law. They would never get that. And so they had to look at him as an outcast, as unclean. So they are offended and they're scandalized. In fact, it seems like they're going out, and we'll see today, it seems like they're going out of their way to find ways to make him look bad. Have you ever had people like that in your life? That seem to go out of their way to find things against you. If you've been in any form of leadership, that's a guarantee. It will happen with regular intervals. But their job, of course, it seems like their job was to undermine Jesus' growing notoriety and authority. Because if they could make Jesus look bad, then, of course, the people would come back to them. They forgot that the people didn't really like them either. They were drawn to this authority. They were drawn to this charisma. They were drawn to the truth of the Word of God. But they didn't know that. Now we come to this plucking of grain on the Sabbath and healing a man's hand on the Sabbath. Two more acts that will totally upset the apple cart as far as they're concerned, not realizing that they have the Lord of the Sabbath right in front of him. Now, let's consider how well they're doing with their outrage. They're 0-3 at this point, if my count is correct. And they're not going to get any better at this game, if you will, because you take on the Lord of the Sabbath, who is Lord over all, you're going to lose every time, even if it means that the Lord of the Sabbath loses his life. So read with me Mark chapter 2, 23, verse 23 through chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. Then he also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus, that is the Pharisees, to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill it? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him on how to destroy him. Father, we thank you for your word that continues to show us the unfolding of the kingdom of God and how the power of the kingdom of God overcomes and supersedes the kingdom of man in so many ways. Thank you, Father, that you are our King. We delight in that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the Sabbath was a way of life for the Jew. God had instituted it at creation. He confirmed it in the Ten Commandments, but it also was a symbol of the deliverance, the salvation, the deliverance from Egypt that he had granted to his people. So for all those reasons, he was to be praised and worshipped for all that he is, for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. To abandon the Sabbath was tantamount to abandoning God himself. Turning your back on God, rejecting God, as we see throughout the Old Testament, rejecting the God of the covenant. Now, this was all well and good, these different laws that God gave them and the people, but the Pharisees got a hold of all of those laws and said, how in the world can we keep that many laws so that we're not rejecting God's law? How do we do that? Well, let's devise 660 more laws. Because we all know how well more legislation works. That's how we'll protect ourselves from God's law. All the regulations, however, sort of like the legislations that come in our country, all of them became equal to the Word of God as far as the Pharisees were concerned. So when you broke one of their traditions, one of their regulations, you were, in fact, breaking the law of God in their eyes, being disobedient to the Lord. Now, Jesus has come, and we've already seen him already just really upset the apple cart over and over and over again, because he came to fulfill the law as it was written, to fulfill the covenant. For only in him does deliverance, does salvation exist. So just like their understanding of fasting, which was based in a legalistic desire to burden the people and to make themselves look good. Remember the mask that they wore at least two times a week, the white face, that made them, the definition of the word, hypocrites. They made that for themselves. They made that to bind the people. Jesus, the King, the Lord of the Sabbath, explains its original intent. At the same time, makes a clear case for grace. Something we don't see the Pharisees understanding whatsoever. It's not the law, but it's grace that encourages obedience. And that's what Christ is talking about here. The Pharisees were concerned about traditional rule, conditional regulations, working out your righteousness with ceremony. What is it that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? Oh, by the way, that occurred about this same time. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you can't get into the kingdom of God. So what is it that the Christian's supposed to focus on? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the message of Christ as opposed to the message of the Pharisees. It says, if you do these things, God is bound to let you in. So it's grace, not law. So the Pharisees were defining Sabbath keeping in a legalistic way as a duty. Instead, Jesus will clarify the meaning and purpose of the law by taking them back to the scriptures in verses 23 through 28. And then he will show or substantiate that message with the power of God, the power of the Lord of the Sabbath in chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So let's look at that, break that down before I get caught up in whatever else I'm going to get caught up in. This stuff has really just cranked my chain big time because it seems to affect the way we look at the world today. This is a black and white, you know, association of things. We're such a busy people. Don't give me all the details. Give me the short form. Well, Mark has given these people who are being persecuted the short form, not because he's trying to accommodate their crazy needs, but because they don't have much time on their hands. They need to know the truth. They need to know the truth now. And that very much is where we're at today in the 21st century, to be sure. So Jesus is clarifying the true meaning and purpose of the Sabbath here in verses 23 and 28. And you got to love the way this story unfolds. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, so that means, where were the Pharisees?
On the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath, they were walking with them, and we'll get to that. Look, why are they doing what's not lawful on the Sabbath? And he said to them, have you never read, and of course he does that a lot with the Pharisees, what David did, and when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God at the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Now, we're going to break this down, but there's a whole lot more that we won't even be able to cover in this text this morning. But it was reminded me of a story that I read a couple years ago about the Presbyterian Church in Scotland in the 16th, 17th, and 18th century. In those times, you were part of a parish church, and you were expected to be in church on the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. Well, according to session records during that time, the church, the session itself, would nominate and vote on two particular men to go out on the Sabbath to hunt down those who weren't in church on the Sabbath. And you know where this is going. Now, they had the power to find them because back in those days, the magisterial powers were related to the church. They also had the power to present corporal punishment if they were children. And they also had the power, of course, to excommunicate the parents who did nothing about it. But, I mean, think about the whole thing that's going on. Here's two elders who were supposed to be where? In church, out trying to find those who were skipping church. But it was okay. That's how we protect the Sabbath. The traditions of men don't make a lot of sense sometimes. In every age, in every generation, that age of Phariseeism is always with us. Legalism abounds one way or another. Jesus, the King, of course, the Lord of the Sabbath, explains its original intent. And at the same time, makes it clear that grace, not the law, is what produces obedience. Over and over again, we see how he continues to be different from what the prevailing understanding and thinking is of the time. We have that concept of, even within our own families, what can we do to make people or make our kids walk the straight and narrow? And often that goes beyond what the scriptures tell us to do. So in the same way, these Pharisees had been making up all these rules to what they thought was to protect the people, protect themselves from the law, which just showed and revealed their own hypocrisy. So here we have Jesus and disciples, as we said before, they're walking along in somebody else's field, by the way. You have to wonder about how that all works, plucking grain. And the Pharisees are right with them because they're following along, looking for ways to undermine Jesus' ministry. Now, you know, we have to see the irony here. They're walking along with them on the Sabbath. Everybody's walking together. And then they say, look, what they're doing, it's lawful, not lawful on the Sabbath. Now, my mind goes immediately to this question that I would have asked. What law have they broken? But Jesus knew the answer to that question. They hadn't broken any law. There's nothing wrong with plucking grains on the Sabbath. Now, if you'd brought a combine or if you'd brought 100 workers, that would kind of break the whole no-work principle on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees had devised a law. The law said while you're walking along on the Sabbath, you couldn't pluck the grain, heads of grain. You couldn't pluck berries to eat them. That was, you become a Sabbath breaker if you did those things. You become a Sabbath breaker if you untied your sandal on the Sabbath day. You would have to, if you tied it the night before, you were in trouble. You had to sleep in those sandals until the next evening. Into the 20th century, one of the biggest problems, you can't use the telephone on the Sabbath if you're a Jew. Remember that big fire down in Miami? They couldn't call the fire department. They had to call the rabbi first, which was breaking the Sabbath, to see if they could actually call the fire department, if that was a matter of necessity or need, to put out the fire. The traditions of men are dangerous. Just that dangerous. And it continues throughout our day and age. He takes them to the Scriptures, shows them that as a matter of necessity, the Scriptures allowed them to do these things. David was allowed. But he starts out with those words, have you not read? These are the Pharisees. They knew the Scriptures backwards and forwards. Have you not read? Over and over again to remind them of the truth. A matter of need, a matter of necessity, the priest gave to David and his men the bread, the showbread, which was there to feed the priest as a symbol that God would take care of his people, provide for his people. If they had not given the bread to David and his people, it would have gone against the spirit of the law as well as the letter of the law. Because out of necessity, you can do those things on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees had forgotten those things. Now, Jesus wasn't content with just embarrassing the Pharisees' regulations with the actual Scripture. He goes on to define the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, they got that backwards. Well, we can get into all the reasons how it was possible for them to get it backwards, but Jesus is pointing out, be clear, the Sabbath was made for man because man needs to rest. Man needs to take that time. The Sabbath is meant for a blessing. It's not meant to be a burden, which is what the Pharisees were seeking to do, to make it a burden, a duty that had to be fulfilled. I mean, even God rested on the seventh day from his regular work of creation. God never stops. But from his regular work of creation, he rested on the seventh day. And oh, by the way, that day never ended. We could get into that as well, but we don't have time. Maybe in a few weeks, if we start up a Bible study on Genesis, we'll get there. He told them their regulations were wrong-headed. He probably even told them, if you look at Matthew and Luke, he probably even told them about the hypocrisy of which they kept the Sabbath day following his disciples around, because they had another law. You could only walk 1,999 steps on the Sabbath. If you walked 2,000, you were an automatic Sabbath breaker and you could be cast out of the temple, the synagogue. So we have to wonder what all is going on there, because we know what their intent was, to be sure. Jesus made it abundantly clear the Sabbath was made for man. But then he drops the bombshell. It's one thing to have to be told that you've got this all messed up. But it's another thing to hear this next phrase. The Son of Man is the Lord of even the Sabbath. That bold assurance alone ought to have taken us to verse 6 of chapter 3. Because he's saying, I am the one who created it. I am the one who is sovereign over it. I know what's best. You could never even begin to imagine as the Lord of the Sabbath. It's mine. And guess what I did with it? I made it a blessing to the people. That's my decree as King, as Lord of the Sabbath, the second person of the Godhead, the Lord of Sabbath, the Lord over the Sabbath. So he spoke the word with authority, against the traditions of men with clarity, gave them the main purpose of the Sabbath, as well as defining who's in charge here, not them. And it's interesting to me that it takes till the next event for them to get any kind of upset. But in order to substantiate the message, in order to substantiate his purpose as the Lord of the Sabbath, once again, he displays his power as the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord over all. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him, that is, they, that is, the Pharisees, would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill it? But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him and how to destroy him. Now, Jesus seems to, on that same day, enter a synagogue. And in that synagogue, whether the Pharisees put him there or whether he was a member of the synagogue for some other reason, he finds a man with a withered hand. Well, the Pharisees are going to say, okay, necessity, we get that on the Sabbath. Maybe that's okay. But this guy's hand is not life-threatening. So you could heal him any day of the week. You don't need to heal him on the Sabbath. That's against the law. But of course, they forgot another precedent with the Sabbath. And that is the Sabbath is to reveal God's blessing of mercy and compassion. Christ chose to be merciful. And what better day to do that than the Sabbath? So this man would be able to use both hands the next day at work. So knowing that works of necessity were allowed on the Sabbath, he now asks this question concerning mercy and compassion. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill it? In Matthew's gospel, it simply stops at to do good. Because the whole point here is to say, isn't it okay to glorify God, to do good, to heal, to preach, to proclaim the word, to consider the things of God, instead of making the Sabbath a burden and with restricting the blessings of God? Now, we give the Pharisees a hard time. I enjoy giving the Pharisees a hard time. I enjoy pointing fingers at them. But my finger has to go here and then has to come here because I got this big old log coming out of my eye as well. So I have to constantly be focusing back upon my own sins and my own struggles as well. How do I perceive? What's my attitude of the Sabbath day? Do we strive purposely and joyfully to keep the Lord's day? Do our kids understand how important this day is to us? Do they catch that when you're the people that you work with? Do they understand how important the Sabbath day is to you, the Lord's day, if you will? Is it a delight or is it a drudgery? Something we have to do. Because, you know, if we don't show up, the preacher's going to call us and we just know he's judging us by not being there. If I call you or text you, it's because I love you and missed you. But I understand how that thought goes. I bet used to sit where you are. It's like being called to the principal's office. Nobody likes that. But is the day a burden? Is it an inconvenience? Or is it a day that you can delight in with God and his people? Is it a day that you look forward to? God gave the Sabbath, the Lord's day, as a gift a blessing. So Jesus is asking the Pharisees, isn't it right to heal on the Sabbath a man's shriveled hand? And they couldn't answer him because they knew what the answer was. The answer was yes. But if they said no, they would look bad because of their own rules. And if they said yes, they'd look bad because they would seem like they were contradicting themselves. They didn't want to be a hypocrite, which we've already established that fact. Jesus was angry with their decision. He was angry with them. He was angry with their sin to have such a hard heart to deny people the meaning of the Sabbath. So he displayed his power and authority over all creation on the Sabbath day. Why shouldn't the Sabbath be used to heal? Of all days, why not? The word here used for anger, it's important for us to understand in the Greek there's a little being a little upset. There's even indignant. And we're okay with those phrases when they apply to Christ. But this particular word means outraged. It means furious. It's what we consider anger. The great thing with Christ is he didn't sin. So it's righteous fury. We see that all through the Old Testament when God deals with the sinners in his midst, that righteous fury. In this case, he is furious with these guys because they've chosen to put tradition ahead of the needs, the mercy needs, the necessity needs of the people around them. Jesus' anger at hypocrisy and religious manipulation knew no bound. We see that all throughout the Gospels. His anger is obvious here as well. And it's okay for us to understand that. But on the other hand, he ministered in gentleness and kindness and compassion to the needs of the broken and the needy. What did he say to this guy when he walks into the synagogue? He said, come here. Matthew 11, what does he say to all of us? Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That same message wrapped up in those two words. Come here. Because you knew what was coming next. So what about us? Sunday is a day of resting within the Lord. Resting from our weekly cares and our weekly work. Do we see the Lord's day as an opportunity to come and fellowship with the Lord of the Sabbath himself? Do we see it as an opportunity to commune with our Redeemer who died and rose again, bringing light and life into our darkness? Do we understand that this day, among all days, we can experience a rest that Christ has given to us? We can experience that in our worship. We can experience that in our works of necessity and our works of mercy and actual physical rest. That blessing that he's given to us when we lay aside our weekly cares and experience the rest in Christ. That's the meaning of the Sabbath day. The Lord of the Sabbath has created the Sabbath for man, not man for the Sabbath. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm at a point where I've been taking notes with the Pharisees. We're 0-5 at this point, as far as they're on a losing streak, to be sure. So they have to go to someone else for help. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. The Herodians were as far away from the Pharisees as you could be. They were political, religious, and spiritual rivals. They hated each other. But the Pharisees needed help to destroy Jesus. Again, they'll lose there as well. The Lord of the Sabbath is Lord over all. He is risen. Amen. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for the day you've given us. Grateful for your word that continues to remind us not only the message, but the power behind that message that enables us to walk in that Spirit's power. To love you, to love one another, to do the work you have for us. And we thank you for this, that you are the Lord of the Sabbath and the blessing of the Sabbath for us from you. In Jesus' name, amen.